And we're going to be handing it over here shortly to Brother Sean Saylor, who's going to be teaching a great lesson on the tests and trials of a new Christian, or a seasoned Christian for that matter. A very important lesson he's going to be giving. And before he does that, we just want to congratulate him and Sister Jeannie Saylor. They just celebrated this last week, and he told me it's the first time he's ever been to Carlsbad. I said, boy, you've been missing it. It's beautiful out there in North County, San Diego. They were out there on their second year anniversary. Amazing. I hope everyone's clapping their hands right now. As we were talking just a moment ago, hey, it probably feels like your fifth year or your tenth year, doesn't it, Sean? In the best way possible, of course. So before I get him into too much trouble, let's give it over to Brother Sean Saylor. Brother Sean Saylor, go right ahead.
Thank you, Brother Vic, and you know, I thank you for everything that you're doing for the church and whatnot, and thank you for all the compliments. But and we certainly appreciate all that you do for the church and doing these calls. I know it's very tedious day in, day out to do these, but we really appreciate you doing this and facilitating the opportunity for us to you know, be able to hear different people in the church and different preachers recently speaking to us. So we really appreciate all that you do. So, but I'm also thankful for an opportunity to be able to teach tonight, and I always consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to talk to the church, even if it's over the phone, and especially on such an important topic of tests and trials. And it's just always an honor just to be able to speak to the best church in the world and with the best pastor and best pastor's wife in the world. And we hope that pastor is getting all the rest and relaxation and coming back to full steam, but not too fast, and that he can take this time to really heal as best as possible. So we cannot wait to hear. I just cannot wait to be able to hear Pastor Clark preach again, but I'm certainly not rushing him to do so. But and I've been praying for all those that have been afflicted recently, and this kind of just goes along with what I'll be teaching tonight. But I'll be praying for those that have been afflicted by this virus. My wife and I both got it, and also Sister Krista, who's living with us, she also got it. So she moved in, and she got the Rona from us. So what a move-in gift from us. So, but I've certainly been praying for those that have been afflicted, and if anyone's been listening, or if anyone is listening right now, to that's in contact with Brother and Sister Jackson, with their family, I want to encourage them that some of the young guys have taken it upon themselves to make it a day of prayer and fasting for Brother and Sister Jackson. There was a text sent out amongst the young guys, and they have taken it upon themselves without, you know, being prompted from anyone else, but they took it upon themselves to make it a day of prayer and fasting for them. So I want to encourage, you know, them, anyone can move that message to those that are in contact with the family. But we are praying for them and expecting God to step on the scene. So, but so getting on to the subject here tonight, you know, I usually like to try to talk, you know, give stories throughout the Bible and just kind of bounce around from the New and the Old Testament about whatever subject I'm talking about. That's just kind of something that I just generally like to do, but I'm going to try something different tonight, not necessarily because anything, you know, for any specific reason, but, you know, I just kind of felt a little bit led to this one scripture, and I just feel just to go line by line and verse by verse and just break it down. Like I said, I usually don't do this. I usually like to bounce around and give a bunch of different stories and whatnot, but this is something that I'm just going to be trying tonight. I hope it's helpful to someone that may be in a test and a trial. And our church is in a test and a trial right now with what's going on right now. And with us, you know, not being able to get together, and definitely it is the right thing for us not to get together right now, just due to the fact that we don't want to be spreading the virus to those that don't have it and aren't sick with this. But, you know, so we're definitely in a trial. And with what's going on in the world, all Christians are under a test and a trial with how, you know, just we're being perceived of just wanting to go to church and whatnot. So, but I just felt led to this scripture, 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12. So if you have your Bible, you know, just flip on down to 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 12. And we're going to go through the rest of this chapter line by line. And we're going to break this down. And like I said, I hope this is helpful to somebody. So verse number 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." So church, don't think of your trial as some strange event. That's what this is talking about. Don't think of it as some strange event or some weird out of left field occurrence. So whatever you're going through, could be a family trial. It could just be, it could be anything that you're going through that you consider it as a test and a trial in your life, that you feel that is just taxing on you emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. Don't think of your trial as some strange, weird event, but it's ordained by God. So that's what the scripture is talking about. Verse number 13 says, "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." So this scripture instructs us to rejoice in our trials because we are partaking or experiencing Jesus' suffering when he was on earth. And furthermore, we need to rejoice because if we partake in his sufferings, we will partake in his glory and meet him with exceeding joy in heaven. So, when we're going through our suffering, we're going through our tests and our trials, we need to rejoice because, you know, the Lord had to go through tests and trials himself while he was on this earth. And he is our example. The word Christian means Christ-like. And in order to be Christ-like, we have to go through some trials like he went through trials while he was on earth. And we need to just rejoice because as we're going through these sufferings, it's just going to, make it that much more exciting when we meet him with exceeding joy in heaven. And this chapter in the Epistle of Peter was written to encourage Christians and new converts that their sufferings and their persecution in the early days of the church were not in vain. They were persecuted in a very violent fashion. And so this was written to encourage them to have good behavior and attitudes when they were going through these tests and these trials and these afflictions and persecution. And how relevant is this today with everything that is going on, like I was talking about earlier? We're not in the United States, we're not being physically harmed for the most part for our beliefs and for being Christians, but the church has definitely been persecuted emotionally with, the fact that people make you feel like a criminal for wanting to go to church during this pandemic, or for wanting to fellowship with your brothers and sisters, or to even have good family time. We can't back up as the church of wanting to meet together or have good fellowship or have good family time. I mean, I just saw recently from the governor's office that, you're only supposed to limit to, three different households for Thanksgiving dinner. And, I don't think I've really been to I can't say that. Okay, I've been to Thanksgiving family dinners when there's, five, six different households. But you need good family time to build good, strong families. And that's what we need nowadays. And so it's just emotionally we're being attacked, for feeling, like we're creating, for wanting to do normal things and to build good families and to be good Christians by going to church and, by meeting and fellowshipping with their brothers and sisters. And of course, like I said earlier, I'm not saying that, what we're doing right now with the church is not right. Of course, don't take it that way. But, don't take it, that I'm against what we're doing right now. But, we need to, take some time off so that, we can all heal and whatnot and make sure that we're not going to spread the virus in our church again. But I'm speaking in generalities of how the world is attacking the church right now and what's going on. But Peter instructs us not to get a bad attitude or to be belligerent with everything going on, but instead he tells us to rejoice that we get to partake in what our Lord and Savior endured here on earth. And what a privilege it is to be able to experience what our Lord experienced. Going through what he went through is a privilege that allows us to get closer to him and to become more like him. And it forces us to conform to what he wants us to be. Because the Lord was, you know, wrapped himself in flesh and suffered as a man, our sufferings are not meaningless. It gives us a meaning for our tests and trials because he went through the same thing that we went through. And if the tests and trials are good enough for the Lord, they're good enough for us. And the more tests and trials that we go through, the more we yearn and long for the return of the Lord, and that we'll rejoice that much more when he does return. It makes us long and yearn for that day when he's going to crack the sky and return for this church. Verse number 14 says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." So suffering for the name of Christ is certainly a blessing, and it is expected that the world will denounce and blaspheme the Lord, and that they'll blaspheme the name of Jesus. But Christians will always glorify God, and will esteem the name of Jesus with such high honor. That's what this scripture is talking about. It's really talking about how it's really a blessing in disguise for suffering or going through a test and trial. But none of you, in verse number 15 says, "But none of let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matter." Now this is a disclaimer that the tests and trials that Peter is speaking about is not from people who murder or steal or as evildoers. They bring those tests and trials upon themselves when you get thrown in jail for murdering or stealing or just being a bad person. But interestingly, he includes busybodies. Sometimes we can get ourselves into troubles because we can't keep our mouths closed. We get into people's business that we don't belong in, or we gossip. So let's not suffer and bring tests and trials on ourselves for things that we get ourselves into. But if we go through a test, let it be for a God reason, not a reason that we got ourselves into. Verse number 16 says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." We don't glorify God for suffering, but we glorify him in suffering, because our tests and our trials that we go through will cause us to accomplish great things for him, because of the fact that we went through these trials and we learned things during these trials and tests. And for those of you coming on, we're going through 1 Peter chapter number 4, and I'm going to be reading verse number 17 at this time. "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" What a sobering thought and principle that Peter brings up, that Christians can rejoice because the sufferings or tests that we go through will be the worst thing that we'll face in eternity. But those who reject the gospel will be an eternal test and trial. So think about this, church. The tests and trials that we go through, you may be poor your entire life. You may struggle your entire life. But just know that is the worst that you're going to experience, because in eternity, you're going to be in heaven. But for those that reject the gospel, so you look at these people who flaunt their evil lifestyle, but they have all sorts of money and the latest gadgets. They have big houses and nice cars. And you look at them, but they're living a sinful life. You know, you of course don't want to, damn them to hell. But at the same time, you got to know that even though that they may have everything in this life, during eternity, chances are if they're living in sin and they didn't repent and they didn't get baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, that chances are that that will be the highlight of eternity for their lives, as they will be eternally, of course, I don't want to put anyone in hell, but according to the word of God, chances are they're going to be cast into the lake of fire and thrown in hell because of the lifestyle that they live. So just this scripture is just so encouraging for us that are going through hard times as Christians, that the hardest thing that you may face and if you were to put your time, your life on eternity, on a time scale of eternity, just know that this will be your hardest time. But when you go in heaven, all those tears, all those hardships will go away. Verse number 18 says, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Sometimes living for God and being right is just not an easy thing. This scripture is talking about. Verse number 19 says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." What an encouraging scripture right here. It's another distinction between righteous suffering and unrighteous suffering, you know, putting yourselves into different circumstances. But we can rest assured that if we commit our souls to him, he is a faithful God in spite of our suffering. So if you're going through a hard time, just know that in spite of your suffering, he is a faithful God. He's not going to put more on us than we can bear. And 1 Peter 1 and 7 assures us that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's more precious than of gold. Church, don't be discouraged because of what you're going through, especially right now. These are tough times. It's very discouraging times, very depressing times. But don't be discouraged by it. Just rejoice in the suffering that we have right now. Just know that we're going to be better on the other side of this. And even if the Lord decides to come during this time, or this is the end times, which I certainly do believe, and life never gets back to quote-unquote normal times, just know that this will be the worst times of our lives, according to what we just read. What scripture was that? That was... verse number 17, that this you know, will be the worst times of our life. But in eternity, there will be no more tears, no more sorrows, and all these hardships are going to go away. So just rejoice in this and just that scripture alone. But also know, because we serve a faithful God, that he's in the midst of your trial and that you are partaking in the suffering of Christ so that you can be molded and you can be made into what he wants you to be, that God's going to do great things through you during these tests and trials that you are going through. So church, just be encouraged. Just know that your suffering isn't meaningless, that God gave us meaning by the fact that he wrapped himself in flesh and he went through similar tests and trials that we're going through. And the fact that he went through these things brings meaning to our sufferings and to our tests and trials, and it gives them meaning, and it's going to... you're going to emerge out of these tests and trials a better Christian, a better person, a better husband, a better wife, just a better saint of God. So church, I just want to leave you with that, and I hope this was helpful with what we're experiencing right now. And so Brother Vic, I'm going to hand it back to you.
And Brother Sean Saylor, what a tremendous lesson that you've given us tonight. As Brother Sean was teaching, I couldn't help but to think, I'm going to brag on the teacher a little bit here for just a second. Brother Sean Saylor has such a great way of teaching and expounding the Word of God. Very simply put, he breaks it out in a very understandable fashion that everyone can be able to understand, and that is such an important attribute or way of teaching, and Brother Sean has that. Thank you so much, Brother Sean Saylor. I wrote a couple of things here, and I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. Please excuse me, but some important points I want to make tonight. What a timely lesson with everything that's going on in the church right now, with everything that we're going with this, not just this COVID virus, but there's a lot of other things that have been hitting the church recently, everyone, and some of you are aware of that, whether it be the virus, whether it be flus, colds, other issues that people are dealing with right now. And just today we sent out a text tree. And looking at some notes here, the Jacksons, they need prayer. Brother Jackson needs prayer. We're not trying to be alarmist here tonight, but our brother Jackson really needs prayer right now. We sent out the message yesterday and today also. They're in the hospital, and he needs us to continue to pray for him. Brother Ray Smith and Sister Alice called us this morning and let us know that Brother Ray Smith needs prayer. Also, he's been dealing with a fever for 5 or 6 days now, and he's really needing a touch. We need to continue to pray for him. We also got the news today. Michael Bimble, that Sister Tilly's husband, had a heart attack. He's in the hospital today. He underwent surgery today, And thank God he made it through. Sister Tilly did tell me that when he was on the operating table, it didn't look good for a while there. But he was able to be revived, and he's with us, and we're going to continue to pray for him. So what is my point in saying all this, church? We're going through some trials. We're going through some tests. We're going through some tribulations right now. But as Brother Sean said, we're going to continue to have faith. He I believe you read the scripture. I'm going to read it here in closing. It's found in James chapter 1 and verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith is what's going to work patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There it is, that ye may be perfect and entire. The Lord is working on us. He's working in us through these tests and these trials. So, church, with everything that we're going through right now, let's continue to look up, lift up our faith, and continue to pray. Lord Jesus, we are in your hands. Everything that may come to us, Lord God, as long as you cover us with your grace, we know we're going to make it through. And one day, as Brother Sean said, we're going to see the Lord's face in heaven. Praise God. Church, with that said, we're going to be closing tonight, but we want to remind everyone about our devotion tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. with Sister Krista. And we look forward to having everyone there in the morning. God bless all of you. Have a great night. In Jesus' name, amen.